Yeah, no, it's probably okay the way it is. Yeah, a time or two. Well, old is correct.
You're familiar, you're not old.
I like that. Told Joe I like to be down actually lower, but I also like the light to be able to see my notes, so but No. Everything's good. Everything's good. But
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Barb. Hey, I want to begin this morning by making an announcement. If my wife could come a little closer. Yeah. You in the back there. Oh, okay. So many of you know that we just celebrated stay standing, hon. So we just celebrated 50 years of marriage. Woo-hoo! Now, so most of you know me pretty well, and I'm thinking, you're thinking is, how in the world did this woman put up with the likes of me for all these years? I was thinking, and her as well, somehow she should receive some kind of a special award, you know, that for enduring all these years. But for one, I'll just say I'm grateful that she has. So yeah, after she got me broke in, right? It's what she keeps telling. I says, are you sure you want to keep me around? She says, I've got too much invested getting you broke in. So she gets her coffee delivered to her every morning just the way she likes it. So she... I want to say what a privilege it is to be able to share the word of the Lord, although you're taking perhaps a bigger risk than you know. It's been almost 3 years since we retired, and whatever that means. And I think I've preached once here, preached a couple other places a time or two, but it's funny. When I'm out walking or I'm listening to the Bible or just reading, I'm thinking, I should have preached that, or I should have preached that more often, and so I start making notes about all those things. And so since I don't get the opportunity very often, I've actually got several that I'm just going to preach right through this morning. A true story, at a convention 1 year, my son Josh will never let us forget, but when Jack Hayford was president and speaking, he is a long speaker to begin with, and at the end of his message, he announced that the Lord had put on his heart another message. And we're like, oh, you got to be kidding. How about tomorrow, you know? And it was as long, I think, or longer as the first. It was, my kids never Anyhow, I'm not Jack Hayford in more ways than one. But this morning, I simply want to give testimony, more than preaching, just testimony to the faithfulness of God. And in fact, that's one reason why I asked Joe to lead that the song Firm Foundation. We'll actually sing it again at the conclusion. But I also want to, I thought I'd mention just my gratitude to Dave and Nancy Stone. I know they're not here today, which is why I'm here. But that how God would orchestrate, when we stepped away, had no idea that it would take. I think one of the comments I prayed is, you know, Lord, prepare the heart of those or of the pastors that will come to replace us, and prepare our hearts to for when they come. Again, having no idea it would be this many years in the making. But when Dave and Nancy were asked to be speakers toward the end of December, and apparently toward the end of this church, they were planning to close the doors. And Dave said, you know, there are people here. Why would we close the doors? And so just the heart that God put in them, both to persevere and to give a little longer for the Lord to provide. And we've had the pleasure of talking with Rachel and Steve, who are preparing to move here. And I'm trusting, I know Dave announced this last week, but don't forget to be praying that for housing for them as they make transition from Lincoln City. But getting a chance to speak with both Rachel and Steve, and just to hear their heart, how excited they are, and to come. And so we're not sure of when that first Sunday will be, but hopefully in the next weeks, maybe by the end of the summer. We're not really sure yet. So pray. Joe mentioned that today is Pentecost Sunday, which is the day that we celebrate when the Holy Spirit, after Jesus was resurrected, and then as he was ascending into heaven, he told the disciples, you know, to wait, that the promised gift, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you. And so it was 7 weeks, 50 days, and the Holy Spirit came as promised upon the early church. And so when I realized that I would be speaking on Pentecost Sunday, I thought, well, how cool is that, number one. Number two, I can't help but reminisce the most exciting Pentecost Sunday that Karen and I had got to experience in Jerusalem. In fact, we were with dear friends who were missionaries there in Israel at the time, and they suggested, why don't we go sit on the southern steps of the temple, the old temple, and which is really the only portion of the temple that remains, as it's. When you walk on those steps, these are the steps that Jesus would have walked on as he would be entering the temple from the southern entrance there. And so we're sitting on those steps, and we thought, let's have communion together. And so the four of us are just enjoying a special moment of fellowship with each other and communion. And we noticed that, you know, there's always people scurrying about and just going on, so we're not really paying attention. But we started noticing that people were gathering. They weren't just kind of milling. They were gathering. And we see some microphones and some speakers and different things. And all of a sudden, Stephen Curtis Chapman does this impromptu concert on the right in front of the steps there, and he starts, you know, rocking out, and we're just enjoying that. And of course, when you're sitting there facing the south, you're looking off just off to the east a bit across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, which is where, you know, that it's, you know, Jesus will appear at the second coming when he comes back for his church. And I literally kept looking up there like, boy, this would be just a perfect time. Can you imagine being in Israel? And of course, we can't comprehend what that's going to be like around the world. It really doesn't make any difference where we are. When Jesus comes, we will see it and we will rejoice. But so I wanted to mention about Pentecost Sunday, but I want to take my text this morning from, actually, it's a portion of Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the first sermons that Jesus preached, but it's recorded in its entirety. When I was reading through it again, I'm not going to preach the whole Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's three chapters long, and they're rather lengthy. But I remember thinking, wait, Matthew, you took copious notes. You know, that's pretty impressive that he had verbatim just exactly, and of course the Holy Spirit is inspiring him as he writes this and records the sermon. But you know, it includes the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. There's, you know, several Beatitudes there. The Lord talks about, you know, prayer, and so the Lord's Prayer, this is how you should pray, a model for prayer, and just a number of other things in that Sermon on the Mount. But it's the last few verses. It's really the concluding verses of this sermon that I want to use as my text this morning. And let me read it to you. Therefore, Jesus says, this is Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Then he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Pray with me if you would. Lord, just this morning, just ask that your word would feed us and strengthen us. And Lord, help us to hear and practice your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned, that I want to declare the faithfulness of God this morning. I feel like in as I look back over the years of preaching and teaching, you know, I'm preaching what I understand the word to say and you know, believe it with all my heart, but I realized that I'm preaching from a great deal of experience. I've experienced, I'm not just saying, you know, put your trust in God, He is faithful, because the Word says so. I'm saying it because I've experienced it personally through the years, God's faithfulness. And when the script, in fact, I want to read the lyrics of the song that we just sang. I know we just sang them, but I want to read them through, and I'm just disappointed I don't get the credit for writing these lyrics, because they sing my song. This is exactly what I've experienced, that Christ is my firm foundation. He is the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, and there's a lot of shaking, that whole lot of shaking that's going on. It's absolute truth. There is so much shaking. But I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Not one single regret. Because He's never let me down. He's faithful through the generations. I was thinking, it's not just through the years of ministry, through the years of marriage, but even in my growing up years, giving me the parents that He gave me, plugging me into the church that He gave me, giving me the friends, through all the things, God's faithfulness has just been amazing. Not without storms, we'll talk about those, but the last line of the first verse is, so why would He fail me now? He won't. And we said that a few times. The second verse, I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that sometimes makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, because I build my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would He fail now? He won't. The rain came. It's funny, from my earliest memories, and maybe some of you would have remember this song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. I won't sing it for you, but yeah. Isn't that funny? And the rain, how does it go? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Rains came tumbling down. The rains came down. Floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The house. The wise man's house was safe. The foolish man built his house. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The house. It's funny, though, you hear those cutesy little songs, and they stick, not just the lyrics, but the profound meaning of the importance, how important it is to build our lives on the rock. Rains came, the winds blew, but my house was built on You. I'm safe with You. I'm going to make it through. When my parents were, it might have been in their first year of marriage, first or second. I don't remember that because I wasn't there yet. But dad's job moved down in Northern California along the Klamath River. and they had found a place to live that was, it was more like a, I think, a vacation cabin, pretty rustic and in close to the river there. They were awakened one night, and people banging on the door, and when my folks got up, there was several feet of water already in their house. And or if not in the house, it was in the, when they got in the car, the floorboards of the car, and they were rescued out of that flood that not only wiped it wiped out every home except theirs. It didn't stay on the whatever foundation they had. It was caught in some trees downriver. And so they were the only ones that were able to go through and retrieve some belongings, although waterlogged because the attic, the water reached into the attic, and so it's just amazing that it stood. But we've rehearsed that story, as you might imagine. Something will come up and say, "Oh, this went through the flood," or something. But it's always a tribute, you know, to the faithfulness of God, rescuing them. It's Ben Franklin that is credited with popularizing the phrase, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Well, sorry, Mr. Franklin, but I'm going to add to that list this morning. Here are two things that are an absolute certainty. Storms of life, the faithfulness of God. Actually, let me restate that. Number one, the faithfulness of God. Amen. Absolute certainty, the faithfulness of God. But the storms of life are most certainly a given. There are just going to be storms of life. There will always be storms. There will always be tests. There will always be offenses. There will always be injustices. And the list goes, disappointments, failure. There will be just the list goes on. But here are a couple more certainties. The grass withers. Scripture says the grass withers. The flowers fade. But the word of the Lord stands forever. It endures forever. Another certainty, I made reference to it earlier, the day when Christ returns. Listen to what Paul says to the Thessalonians. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Just a few certainties, but let's back to the text. Jesus is declaring, put into practice the words I speak. Put into practice the words I speak. Build your life on the word of God. And when you go through the waters, which you will, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. This is coming from Isaiah 43. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Doesn't mean, in fact, this is again the indicator, there will be waters, there will be storms, there will be times of intense heat where this is too much. This is too much. And yet we hear the word of the Lord saying, I will be with you. I will always be with you, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the, not if you happen to walk through the valley, it's when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will be with you. I will be with you. I won't fail you. It's interesting that in the very next chapter, Matthew 8, Matthew records the account of Jesus. In fact, it's just one of the accounts of Jesus and disciples in a boat. And the scripture says, and without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. How in the world is Jesus sleeping? Yeah. But that's what the scripture says, but Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples say, hey, we're going to drown. And Jesus says, Mark says it this way, oh, you that have no faith, why are you so afraid? And then he rebukes the wind and the waves. And I can't quite grasp that the noise, the surge and everything, and then just nothing. But that's what the scripture says that Jesus did. You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, how many times I have prayed in the midst of something, Lord, could you just calm the storm just like you did on the boat? And I don't know. I'm sure there are examples. There would be people that would say that they've experienced something of that magnitude. But what I believe the scripture is trying to convey, it's not that we need the storm to be quiet and settled. What we need is our hearts to be stilled and receive the peace that God, now that peace be still is not to the storm as much as it is to our hearts. Peace be still. And when we allow our faith to be and recognize, set our sights on Him and not on the storm, then it's, even though the storm is raging, the recognition of the presence of God that assures, I've got this. I'm going to carry you through this. Watch and see. Watch and see. So we all I remember so many sirens preaching. So we know the storms will come. I like that, without warning. And how many, even though we know storms will come, how often we are caught off guard. Like, whoa, you know, where did that, and just, we just can never, you can, with all the maybe some of you got this on the phone, the heat, you know, warning of the heat wave this weekend. Please note that there's a, how do they say that? There's a weather, here's a weather alert or something. What is it?
Advisory.
Yeah, weather advisory, that's it. And when it's in the winter and you've got, freeze coming, when we were in Denver, we even saw that there was a tornado watch, you know, never really materialized, but you see that on the TV. Our technology is so great that they pride themselves in being able to forecast and give warning. But even when they give warning and things come, you know, we're amazed at the devastation and the extent. And the truth is, we, even with warning, we're never prepared with the extents of some storms. They seemed to not just come, but they rage on and on and on. You know, whether it's conflicts that don't resolve, whether it's a financial situation that just seems to know no end. It's like not only things are getting not any better, but they're getting worse. You know, one thing after another that happens. Health issues that, chronic or not, but health issues. Unanswered prayers. God, your word says. And you pray and you pray and you just, sometimes for years you're praying for certain things and you just don't see the answer that you're praying for. David is such a great example of this. You know, on the run from Saul, experiencing a storm like none of us, no doubt, have ever experienced, running literally for his life. Saul is repeatedly trying to kill him. And David, one of the Psalms that says, out of Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? I mean, these are the our hearts cry. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Day after day after day, and have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy or this storm or whatever it is triumph over me? Look on me, David cries out to the Lord, and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep and I will die. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But the last two verses of David's cry, of his prayer, is him declaring, I will build my house on the rock. God, you are my firm foundation. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I don't see it yet, but I know it's going to come. I know it's going to come. I will sing the Lord's praises. How difficult it is to sing in the midst of a storm. How difficult. But the importance of David recognizing that just the praises that he would offer to the Lord. In fact, the scripture talks about the fact that praise is a weapon. It's a means in which we deal with strongholds, deal with some of the attacks, whether it's of the enemy or just of storms of life. But I will sing of the Lord's praise, David says, for he has been good to me. That was his declaration. That was his song. So, church, let me say this, you know, we certainly have the certainty of this firm foundation in Jesus, and while we have this certainty, we live in a season of great uncertainty, and that's suffice it to say, there's no sense in even giving examples of everywhere we look, the sinking sand and how easily things are shaking, and some of them are outright scary. It causes us to take notice. And I don't think you can see the sign, but it says for lease, cheap. But yeah, is that not a picture of condos wishing they would have built on the rock? But we live in a season of great uncertainty all around us, and my prayer is that even on this, not just because it's Pentecost Sunday, but that the Holy Spirit would speak and words of strength and faith into your life. That one of the things that was so typical of the disciples prior to the infilling or the coming of the Holy Spirit was they were so fearful and so uncertain and so just basically afraid. And yet one of the things that, that comes that's probably the most pronounced after the Holy Spirit is given to them is their boldness. You know, Peter stands up on the southern steps of that temple and preaches a sermon like none other, and 3,000 people are saved, and they baptize them right there that day. And there was such boldness, and that that God would use the words of Paul that that exhort that he used to exhort the Corinthians. He says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love." And when the scripture says, you know, be on your guard, that is, you know, being watchful. Don't lose sight of the eternal. How much time am I? Do I have time to tell this? One of the things about David that has, that to this day just amazes me, that in the midst of the storm, not once, but two times, he had it within his hands to give the word, and Saul would have been done away with, would have been killed. The first time David is hiding in a cave, the very cave Saul comes in to relieve himself, and David's in the back, and the men say, talk about an answer to prayer. This is it. God has delivered your enemy into your hands. And they're literally waiting to take care of Saul. And David says, no. Touch not the Lord's anointed. In other words, he had the I don't know what, other than the conviction of the Holy Spirit to realize that if it was up to him to take care of Saul, he would be doing it in his own strength and not trusting in the Lord. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know about that. And then there was a little bit later, he had another opportunity, the same thing. And he resisted and let God. And so it's not about just getting through the storm or getting the prayer answered that I want. In the midst of it, that I could still hear that still small voice and recognize God's leading and not miss what God has and not circumvent God's plans. So be on your guard, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, that resolute conviction to stand and not falter. Even Paul, Lord, this thorn in the flesh, three times he prayed, and God says, that's something that you're going to have to just deal with. My grace is sufficient. Being able to hear the word of the Lord, even in the midst of difficulty. Be courageous. Be strong in your spirit. I can't tell you how many times that, again, one of my favorite places of prayer are the streets of Philomath. and how many times that when I'm not even, I don't even know what to pray. God, Lord, bring deliverance, bring healing, bring restoration, and just trusting the Lord to, in the midst of my weakness, God, usher your strength in my spirit. Usher your strength in my spirit. And then that doing everything in love. I love the King James. Stand ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. This is the King James of this 13th verse, and be strong. And it's not quit you like, you know, like we would say it. It's stand. And it's, in fact, I get the picture. Sorry if I, Braveheart, William Wallace. Wait, you know, or hold. I think that's what the term he used. Hold. You know, the guys are just, you know, ready to attack and hold. And sometimes I think we need to hear the voice of the Lord. You know, be on your guard, stand firm, but hold, hold. You know, stand in there. It's like you can just see digging down and just I'm not gonna give up on the Lord. I'm gonna wait for Him. I'm gonna wait for His intervention, His deliverance, His answer. So Lord, thank You for Your word that we can. Your word is not so lofty that we can't put it into practice. Lord, we can. We can choose to put Your words into practice in our lives. And Lord, Your words are not formulas. They don't, we don't do them to get what we want. We do them because we're being obedient to Your ways. We're building our life in Your king, on Your foundation. Your kingdom rules. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that You would hide Your words in our heart and that our declaration will be, You are the one that we trust in. We put our hope in You. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand and sing this song one more time, and then I'll speak a blessing.
Habakkuk 3 says this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, though the storms rage and seemingly forever, may you rejoice in the Lord. May you be joyful in God your Savior, the sovereign Lord who is your strength, giving you feet like the feet of a deer, enabling you to tread on the heights. May God be your firm foundation.